latest news from Financeland with Wiley Sims from Smartline, station sponsor.
The information provided in this segment is general advice only. Listeners should seek individual advice from their accountant, financial advisor or broker to see if the product is right for their situation. ACL number 385325.
Good morning to you, Wiley. How are you?
Fantastic, Mitchell. Good morning to you. Good morning, Courtney. And good morning, listeners.
Good morning, Wiley.
Now, what's happening in Financeland this week? Some good news for Smartline?
Yeah, we've got to have a bit of a brag here, Mitch. We were awarded for the seventh straight year Australia's Top Franchise Award. And we rated first in four of the six categories. So we're pretty happy with that. And a lot of hard work, and again, we like to think of ourselves as one of the quiet achievers in the finance industry.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's why we love having you as a station sponsor. Now, what's happening with capital city values?
Okay, well, I'm not sure if this is good news or bad news, but Melbourne prices were the hardest hit in November, with values of Melbourne housing sales dropping by around about 3.5%. Hobart were down about 2.5%, and both Sydney and Darwin went backwards 1.4% and 1.3% respectively, and about 0.5% drop in Canberra value. So the majority of capital cities are all down in value. Adelaide actually was the best performing capital, with a rise of around about 0.7%, and Brisbane rose about 0.6%, and Perth about 0.3%. But basically, the overall capital city's values fell by about 1.5% in November, and now the capital city values are around about 3% lower than what they were in the first half of 2004. So it seems that, hopefully, if we are getting some readjustment, particularly in the capital cities of values, it looks like it's going to be a bit of a soft adjustment and not a hard landing that we were fearful of. But that's good news. But of course, we'll have a bit of a look at a suburb, not a Geelong suburb, later today. Well, I had a look at Preston, and there might be a few heart palpitations going on there if anyone's thinking of buying back in Melbourne.
No, that's interesting. And if you're a first home buyer, it might be very good news indeed, and perhaps for some of your clientele.
Yeah, if you're a first home buyer in a capital city, I think you need to be about a three job possessor too.
That's
to
right.
Manage the mortgage, but we'll discuss that shortly.
Three full time jobs, I think.
Three full time jobs, yeah.
Now, what's happening with defaults and off the plan buyers?
Yeah, what's happened is Charles Tarby has actually been concerned about valuations of off the plan. Now, we mooted a few weeks ago that it was likely that off the plan purchases were going to struggle a bit, but he was saying that based on what happened with the GFC and with reassessing values and the squeeze on investor incomes and the oversupply in some cases of particularly high rises, he believes the valuations are going to come down, and he's saying that there's going to be some people that potentially that are going to be burnt with off the plan purchases, and it's likely that valuations are going to come in short. Well, there's no great news or revelation in that. We've been seeing that for some time. But basically, anyone who's buying off the plan these days would be well advised to have some additional cash, because it is likely that there will be some shortfall in valuation when it comes through. And just for people that don't know, it is possible to buy off the plan even though you may get pre-approved. It doesn't necessarily mean that the value of that property will hold. So often these people commit to buying 2 years ahead, 18 months ahead before the property is ready. And particularly as we've just seen in inner city prices and capital city prices, if there's some readjustment there, the values may not necessarily be there when you go to have to complete the sale later on.
So that's a little bit concerning, I think it's fair to say. Now, our favourite word this week is innovation.
Yeah, the business innovation announcement, not that I've heard a great deal about it, but it kind of rings a bell with what we're talking about last 2 weeks with small business, and it does seem there are going to be some changes there, and some funds there for people that want to start up new businesses moving forward. So again, anyone who's considering going into small business or some innovation, new business kind of ventures, then they'd be well advised to keep their ears to the press and see what announcements the government's going to be making early in the new year, because it certainly seems, I think there's $2 billion going to be spent over the next 4 years. There's going to be some opportunities there for some people.
Might ask Sarah Henderson about that in a moment. But do you get a little bit nervous when you hear the government sort of putting money into business that the banks won't essentially touch? The banks won't give loans to them, but the government's prepared to put up these funds for micro loans for green energy and all that sort of thing?
Well, the banks, by their nature, have got to look after their shareholders, and the problem that we get with any small business or anyone starting up is to try and get that new venture capital. The lenders are usually quite happy to lend if you've got a track record, as we've mentioned in the last 2 weeks, but the challenge comes about if you want to start up something brand new, and it's something where there's no track record. Now, of course, the upshot for these venture capitalists, and we find lots of them in the United States, is that if the business is successful, and we think of some of the things like Uber and Google and all these type of things, Twitter and all these things that just started off virtually from nothing on somebody's hobby or wild idea, they've been amazingly successful and amazingly profitable. And anyone, I think that if you originally had $100 in Apple shares, it's worth something like $250 million these days. So, I mean, it just shows you how profitable some of these companies can be. But of course, the downside is there's not everyone's going to be successful, and you do have a higher risk with venture capital.
High risk, high return,
and that's one of the reasons the banks are a little bit wary about going into that space.
Fair enough. Now, this week you've chosen a suburb which you think is going to put Geelong into context for value.
Yeah, Mitch, look, we've been doing Geelong suburbs for well over 12 months, and I just thought, well, let's have a look and see what other suburbs around. So I just pulled threw a dart at the board and came up with Preston, an inner northern suburbs, which was really quite a humble suburb once upon a time, where you could buy relatively cheap housing in Melbourne, 3072. And it's a bit of a shock, I guess. A suburb that once was cheap, and I guess it's still cheap by some Melbourne prices. I've got a younger daughter who works in real estate in North Melbourne. She used to work, and in fact, they rarely ever sold a property for less than $1 million out of North Melbourne. And she's now working in Ivanhoe, and that's really your starting point for a rundown property. But Preston, sales around about $750,000 to $850,000 for a 3-bedroom and 4-bedroom property, respectively. Interestingly, the rents aren't that flash, $430 to $500 a week rent for a house if you can get one in Preston. So there's a low return on investment there. To get into the property, you're going to need at least $100,000, $120,000 or thereabouts, and you're going to be paying back somewhere between $4,500 and $5,000 per month. So the reason I just thought we'd have a look at Preston, I just thought, well, some of the suburbs we've been talking about, this would be under some of the more expensive suburb median prices that we look at in Geelong. So it certainly puts Geelong back into context, and really I regard the value in Geelong compared to 80 kilometres to our east is fantastic. And I guess if anyone's struggling a little bit with a mortgage in Geelong at the moment, hopefully that'll give them a little bit of heart, thinking there's going to be plenty of capital gains to make in the future.
But every week you bring in the graph which shows the trends in property prices, and the first thing I noticed when you gave me this week's graph was just how different it was. I mean, that trend line for the Darabin local government area just looks a lot sharper than what we've seen in Geelong.
Yeah, and of course it's reflecting capital city prices. I think in the last 2 or 3 years it's been around about a 14% increase, and I think it's 8% compounding of capital city prices for the last few years. And certainly anyone that's holding property in that, I guess, 10 to 15 kilometre radius of the CBD is doing very, very well in Melbourne. And I think it's virtually off the Richter scale in Sydney if you own inner city properties in there. And it seems that most of the other capitals, with the possible exception of Hobart, are virtually changing, following that pattern as well.
Well, that's it. I mean, if you look at 2005 versus today, your property price has pretty much doubled.
Yeah, doubled from around about, around $300,000 to well over $750,000. So I guess
pretty good.
It's not too bad if you can make money like that.
That's it. Now, let's look at your home loan. And today is all about your home loan health check, because I imagine a lot of people just pay their home loan off, but they don't bother to actually check and make sure that they're still getting the best deal. How healthy is my home loan if I had one?
Well, Mitch, it's interesting. Around about 50% of people never change their home loan. They take it out from day one, and it's the same home loan as when they sell it. We recommend that you should check your home loan at least on an annual basis, because there are changes around. So I guess the first way that we should ask how healthy is your home loan is you need to ask yourself some questions. And what you should firstly say is, when was the last time I reviewed my home loan, if ever? And I often say to you, Mitch, the number of people that come into me talking about home loans, and the first question I'll say is, what's your home loan interest rate? And it just gets this blank, almost embarrassed look from me, because people really don't know. Yet, most likely is they'd have some idea of what their interest rate is on their credit card, but not their home loan. It's almost a given. So if you've had a change of interest rate on your home loan, or if you've got a fixed rate term that's about to end or has recently ended, it's a good time to review your home loan, because if so, you're probably paying an unreasonably high rate and you can often do better. So the kind of questions that we need to think about are things like, if there are changes in your circumstances, what should you be looking at?
So when you look at interest rates, what sort of rates are we now seeing that are available to people?
Well, Mitch, it's a little bit awkward to answer that question directly, and I'm not trying to be obscure about it, because it depends on so many circumstances. People may have discounts because of the amount that they borrow. Basically, the more you borrow, generally the lower the rate's going to be, all things being equal. The level of equity you've got in your property, and if people have packaged their home loans. So I'm just going to do some very broad generalisations now. If you've got a standard home owner-occupied rate, it should be somewhere between 5 and 5.6%. That's a little bit unusual, because I've often been talking rates in their low fours. But remember that the standard or basic home loan rate is higher than most people are paying. So, strangely enough, people will often go into packages or some form of discounting early in the home loan, or maybe they've been in a construction loan. And quite often these loans default back to the standard home loan after that either discount period or after that construction period. And this is one of the areas of concern, where people don't check their home loan and just think things carry on as normal. They can normally do much better than this rate. So if you're in that 5.6 category, probability is there's a better deal out there for you. Again, if you're looking at an investment variable, it's also going to depend on how much you borrow and the equity that you've got in that investment. And the investment loans are going to be somewhere from the high fours up to even 7.99%. Very hard to generalise with investment interest rates, because it's going to depend very much on the circumstance of the borrower, how many properties they've got, if it's one property, how much deposit they've put down, and a number of factors. But again, certainly investors, they're usually the more savvy people that tend to keep an eye on their interest rates, because they've got to account for things on an annual basis with their taxation returns, etc. Fixed home loan rates at the moment are a bit of a moving feast. As a guide, as of today, owner-occupier rates, the 13th of December 2015, again, it's going to depend on which lender you go to and your circumstances, but you can get a one-year rate from around about 4.29%, two-year rates from 4.12%. There are a couple of specials out there at less than 4%, 3.89%, for example. Three-year rates at around about 4.09%. Four-year rates at around about 4.39%, and five-year rates at 4.48%. So that's where they're starting from. And again, you might say, well, you know, 4.48%, if you can fix it 5 years, that's not too bad, because where are interest rates going to be in 5 years' time? We don't know. So we are starting to find a few people starting to move on to fixed rates at the moment to try and lock in those rates, particularly as we had a little bit of a hiccup recently with the variable rates creeping up. Investors should add somewhere between a quarter and a half a percent to those fixed rates, because we now find that we've broken that nexus between the interest rates for owner-occupiers and investors.
And of course, you keep saying on this program that there's more to home loans than just your interest rates. So if you're looking at your home loan analytically, what sort of things should you check as well?
Well, interest rates are very important, Mitch, but it's a lot more to home loans than just interest rates. So you need to make sure that the loan you've got actually suits your circumstances. So you need to consider some things like what other fees that you're paying. Typically, you might have a situation where some types of accounts, you may pay account keeping fees, transfer fees on money transferred to various loans, and you may have package fees there. And again, we've got one lender who's waiving the package fee for the life of the loan, which is saving our listeners, if they wanted to go with that particular product, over $11,000 a year. Does the home loan give you the features that you need? For example, has it got offset facility? Does it have redraw facility? Do you have access to things like electronic banking? Do you have adequate access to point-of-sale machines, etc.? Or indeed, if you just want a simple and basic home loan, are you paying for features that you don't use? So you tend to get nothing for nothing with home loans, and if you're paying, if you've got a loan that's got a lot of features there, or maybe you've got a package, you might be paying $360, $395 a year for features that you don't need if you only want a simple home loan. The other thing to consider is, have your financial circumstances changed? For example, if you've had a home for more than a few years, you've most likely built up some equity, and if you've got greater than 20% equity in your property, then you would probably be entitled to various loans if you were to refinance, which would give you some opportunity to get lower than these standard variable home loans that we were talking about earlier. Some people, if you've had your home loan for a period of time, may want to access the equity in their home loan. Remember, equity in your home loan is like another form of cash, so you can take that money out and use it for some luxury, necessity, or some family need. Quite common that people actually will redraw their home loans or refinance for things like weddings, which are pretty expensive. People may want to renovate their home. Some people may want to use the equity if they're considering using that in leverage to get into an investment property. If your family circumstances are about to change, for example, you're going to drop from two salaries to one. Not so long ago, I refinanced a young couple where the lady had decided to give up work and look after the family. She had three young children, all under five, and decided to become a stay-at-home mum. And they refinanced to actually reduce their repayments so they could adjust more easily back to one salary. Renovations, moving. Again, if you're thinking of moving, you may find, and in some cases, you may want to draw out a home loan, but you may find some of the features on the loan, you might have a feature called portability, where you can substitute the security. In other words, you can change from the property that's currently mortgaged to another property if the loan has that feature. And if you're struggling to pay off debts with credit cards, mortgage and personal loans, then also it's well and truly a time to start rethinking your home loan, and can you do better, and can you package things in a different way? And if you've got multiple loans with multiple credit providers, then again, you may find you can get a better deal by folding them all into one loan.
So if you've answered yes to some of those questions that you've put forward, and you maybe think that it's time to review your mortgage, what should you do?
Well, you should talk to your lender or go to your broker, because most likely there's a more suitable product out there for you now. It's more than likely, if you've had a few years of ownership of your property, that there's a more suitable product out there. We recommend that you should check your home on an annual basis. It's part of the service that we offer at Smartline. And in fact, we do that for you, and we get back to our clients and actually discuss their home loan on an annual basis. When you check your home loan, it's also a great time to check your personal budget, just to make sure that things are flowing along nicely. And you should also review things like credit cards, any other loans you've got, and your personal debt situation.
And if you find that your home loan is a good one, is it still good to review it?
Yes, Mitch, if your home loan's a good one, well, then it just helps you sleep better at night with the reassurance that knowing that your loan is suitable for your needs. But you can still adjust things. So even if we say, OK, that loan's fine, it's doing everything I need, ticks all the boxes, you may want to think about things like save on some interest and paying your loan off a little bit sooner. So you could maybe, depending on the loan product you have, adjust to fortnightly or weekly payments, or make additional lump sum payments, or increasing the size of your regular payments. All of these will reduce your mortgage more quickly. And then maybe you can pay your salary directly into an offset account if you're not already doing that, which helps reduce your loan's balance and build your equity more quickly. So even if that loan's suitable, if your loan has features, as I said, there are some ways that you can still make that loan work better for you when you do your annual review.
Now, specials this week for the listeners, what do we have?
Again, Mitch, we've got a number of banks that are offering cash backs, up to $2,000 for owner-occupiers. NAB has just again got their cash back off for owner-occupiers for new loans, so if anyone's interested in that. And again, one of the products that we just mentioned, Suncorp, is still waiving the package fee for the life of the loan. saving $375 per annum, which works out at $11,250 over the life of the loan. So again, some great products out there, and if you haven't been reviewing your home loan, maybe it's a thing that you can be doing when you've got a little bit of a break after Christmas.
Next week, what do we got?
We might talk about refinancing made easy, just following on from today's session. If indeed people do start reviewing their home loans and think they can do better, we can tell you how to tick the boxes if you're thinking of refinancing, and it's a lot easier than people think. And that's 50% of listeners out there that are still sitting on the same home loan that they drew 10 years ago. Maybe they can do a lot better out there, Mitch.
And we can ring you on your usual contact number.
Yes, 1300 280 342. Happy to have a chat to our listeners. And Mitch, I think you need a Christmas break.
I think I do, yes. Thank you very much, Wiley Sims there from Smartline.
The information provided in this segment is general advice only. Listeners should seek individual advice from their accountant, financial advisor or broker to see if the product is right for their situation. ACL number 385325.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.